Today's teaching is The Walking Dead. Jeff teased me that this was appropriate for me this week because I feel like a walking dead. The Walking Dead is actually a TV series produced by AMC in Georgia. It has the highest viewership of any series in cable TV history. Now, I'm not among the viewers. I don't watch horror shows, but one can't live in the USA and not know about the show. The series premiered on Halloween several years ago, but that was not the first appearance of The Walking Dead. So let's take today's quiz. I lived in a creepy neighborhood. I lived near the Sea of Galilee. I was a lousy citizen, a Superman, a terrorist, self-destructive, and in grave condition. I was a wild and crazy guy. Jesus saved me and set me free, and I became both witness and evidence. Today's comeback character is the Gerasene demoniac. Now, he doesn't have a name, so we'll call him Dan. We'll call him Dan because he was possessed by demons, and he is Demon Dan. His story is in all three synoptic gospels. And let's follow Mark's version. If you'd like to follow along, turn on or turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus got out of the boat, stop there. When Jesus got out of the boat, let's envision what this scene might have been like. Jesus and the disciples step on shore. On one side of the road, there were the telltale sounds and sights of a large pig farm. The smells were obvious too. On the other side of the road was a local cemetery. Except for the chirping birds and the rustling leaves, it was just like any other cemetery, dead quiet. But this was no ordinary cemetery, and this was no ordinary day. Good and evil were on a collision course because, according to the last of verse 2, and then picking up in verse 3, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet Jesus. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. You may have noticed three references to tombs. That's why we're calling this the story of the Walking Dead. This is a sad example of a life dominated by death and demons. The man couldn't control himself, nor could others control him. The last of verse 4 says, no one was strong enough to subdue him. The word translated subdue in verse 4 could be translated tame. Now, we usually think of taming animals, not humans. Well, this guy acted more like an animal than a human. Merchants would warn the travelers, don't walk near the cemetery, a crazy man lives there. Parents would tell the kids, don't play near the graveyard, Demon Dan lives there. This guy is every neighbor's worst nightmare. His anger, rage, and hatred turned violent toward others and himself. The Bible says he was a cutter. Now, cutting is a type of self-harm. Self-harm can be more widespread than you think. One study found that about 18% of individuals had cut or otherwise harmed themselves deliberately in their lifetime. 18%. Almost 1 in 5. Cutting often begins during the early teenage years. Studies show that between 13 and 23% of teenagers have cut, burned, or otherwise deliberately injured themselves. There are many reasons people harm themselves, but it is never necessary. No matter what happens around you or within you, please remember, God loves you. The devil may want you to hurt yourself, but Jesus does not. He took hurt and harm on himself on the cross so we wouldn't have to suffer harm inflicted by self or usually others. Not all self-harm is prompted by demons, but this time it was. Now that brings up the topic of demons. Some say the idea of demons is just a superstitious holdover from an unscientific time. Well, Jesus spoke and acted as if demons were real, and every one of the New Testament authors wrote as if demons are real. Open the New Testament anywhere, and you won't be far from a reference to the devil, Satan, the adversary, or demons. One of two things is true. Demons are real, or the Bible is not reliable. Scripture teaches that demons are fallen angels cast out of heaven because they followed Satan in rebellion against God. The Bible calls demons impure, unclean, wicked, deceiving spirits. They roam around seeking to do evil and seeking to hinder the work of God. Satan and Jesus are as different as night and day. Satan is a created being. He is smart, strong, and mobile, and he has a team of helpers we call demons. In contrast, Jesus is the creator. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present, and he has a team of helpers too. We call them angels. Satan is an unclean, evil, deceitful, lying, hateful, destructive loser. In contrast, Jesus is a pure and good, faithful and true, loving, redeeming victor. Jesus summarized the difference in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life, that they might have it abundantly. The devil's helpers had come to possess the man so they could steal, kill, and destroy. They wanted to do a bad number on this man. They wanted to steal his mind, kill his body, and destroy his spirit. But someone stronger than Satan stepped onto shore that day. Jesus was there. Back to our story, Mark 5, beginning in verse 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. That is Demon Dan, the demoniac. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, do not torture me." There was a commotion on Cemetery Ridge. Matthew tells us that there were two people in the tombs. Evidently, one of them was the leader and the spokesman. And then that leads to a good lesson on the synoptic gospels. The fact that one synoptic gospel doesn't mention the same things that another synoptic gospel does doesn't make the synoptic gospels irrelevant or unreliable. It just means that they're standing on different street corners watching the same accident. Evidently, one of them was the leader of the spokes or the spokesman. They were probably talking, then they were shouting, then flailing wildly, then running downhill right at Jesus and his group. They were bruised and bloody and bare. They had evil eyes and eerie voices. It was an early episode of The Walking Dead. I can imagine the reaction of the disciples, confused, then afraid, then headed back for the boats. But not Jesus. He probably didn't move. He probably stood steady, straight, and still. He probably didn't flinch. The leading lunatic got closer and closer and then fell on his knees before Jesus. Here is this maniac that everybody was afraid of until Jesus showed up, that everyone avoided until Jesus showed up. But here he is kneeling and quaking with fear before Jesus, while Jesus is probably cool, calm, collected, confident, and completely in control. Nothing scares Jesus. Verse 9 of Mark chapter 5. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Scholars tell us that a legion of Roman soldiers could number up to 6,000 foot soldiers and 120 horsemen. That's a lot of demons. Now, the spokesman for the demons may have been exaggerating. He may have been using figurative language, the way we say, "I have 1,001 things to do today." That means we have an awful lot to do today. Well, these demons were an awful lot. And there were an awful lot of demons trespassing on this man's life. The poor guy was a victim of mob violence and gang warfare. He was in a sad state of affairs. Mark goes on to say in chapter 5, verse 10 and following, he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." Jesus gave them permission. And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and were drowned. The demons were evidently hungry for ham, begging for bacon, and pleading for pig's feet. They went to another host, but they continued their destructive ways. They drowned the pigs. Now, why did Jesus send the demons into the pigs instead of into the pit? Perhaps to make clear to all who saw that he was delivering demon Dan from a separate entity, not a mental, chemical, or psychological malady. Such causes for mental illness do exist, namely the mental, chemical, or psychological maladies. But this was not the case here. So off they went to make their first recorded batch of deviled ham. Again. Verse 14 of Mark 5. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And the townspeople were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. It seems that the townfolk were upset instead of relieved. This is the guy they had been afraid of because they normally saw him running in the tombs, flailing, naked, and crazy. Now they're afraid, even though he is sitting, dressed, and lucid. They seem more concerned about the livestock they had lost than about the life Jesus had saved. They seemed more comfortable with a madman they could not control than with a master who could control the madman. Sometimes we choose a dysfunctional life without the Lord instead of a functional life with the Lord. The people who are addicted to alcohol, drugs, and pornography may enjoy those activities too much to repent and follow Jesus. The person who is in an inappropriate relationship may fear the loss of that relationship more than they desire a relationship with the Lord. The person who is used to a life of dishonesty, lying, cheating, stealing, etc., may not be willing to live by Christian ethics. The person who is used to irresponsible behavior may be too lazy or self-centered to function well in society. And the person who struggles with antisocial emotions, such as anxiety or depression, envy or jealousy, anger or rage, will often choose to live with those emotions rather than deal with those emotions. Humans can be more comfortable with the madman or woman within them than with the Lord above them. But everything changed for Demon Dan when he met Jesus. He went from demoniac to disciple. Before he met Jesus, Dan was wild and crazy, running around naked in public, mean and violent, arrogant and defiant, and feared by fellow citizens. After he met Jesus, Dan was calm, sane, clothed, peaceful, submissive, and loving. Before he met Jesus, he was harmful to himself, downright demonic, a menace to society, in bondage to uncontrollable urges of antisocial behavior. He was walking among the dead. He was in the cemetery. After he met Jesus, he was a helpful Christian messenger with freedom and life. The devil loves it when folks are messed up and when they mess with others. Jesus loves it when people find freedom and when we help others find freedom. So Demon Dan became Disciple Dan. Now things happen a bit differently today than they did back then. The visible work of demons was more common then and there, and that makes sense. The devil amassed his forces at the point of the heavenly invasion. Since that time, demonic activity seems to occur more often in areas of the world marked by outward polytheism and paganism. It is possible that some of what looks like mental illness in our day and place may to some degree be demonic activity. We need to pray for such people who are not in their right mind, and those prayers can rightly include requests like, if there are evil spirits at work, please banish them from that person. But I personally don't see a demon behind every problem. There could be a physical, psychological, or chemical cause, or it could simply be rebellion against the ways of God. After all, people are fallen. They can be quite evil on their own without any help from the devil or his helpers. In that day, another difference is that in that day, Jesus did things instantly. Today, he doesn't necessarily do things instantly. Jesus would instantly heal the sick, calm the storm, and break the bondage of bad habits. In our day, his work is usually more gradual. We still recover from most illnesses, that is, every illness except the last one. We make it through most storms, and we overcome bad habits, hurts, and hang-ups. It can just take more time, like this pesky cold I've got, or the allergies that are plaguing me. The Bible calls that time-consuming process growth. Growth requires good spiritual health habits, like Bible time, prayer time, worship time, fellowship time, and service time, and more. But at least one thing is the same now as it was then. The Lord has the power we need to give us the freedom we want. The Lord has the power we need to give us the freedom we want. Perhaps you're frustrated by bad habits you can't break, good intentions you can't keep, failed relationships you can't fix. There is not likely a quick and easy solution for these struggles, but the Lord has the power we need to give us the freedom we want. So, begin or resume your journey with Jesus today, so you can begin or resume your journey of freedom today. And that freedom is to be shared The Lord wants free people to help free people. We see it in the life of Demon Dan. Verse 18, when he became disciples, Dan, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. The people who lost their livestock wanted Jesus to go away. Disciple Dan wanted to go away with Jesus. It would have been more comfortable for him to go with Jesus, but it was more helpful for others for him to go for Jesus. And verse 9 says, Jesus didn't let him go, but he said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus sets us free and sends us out for show and tell. Home is a great place to start with show and tell. I mean, after all, folks at home are the ones who would most clearly see the dramatic change that Jesus made in the life of Demon Dan. Jesus said, tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Dan did not need years of training in order to be an effective witness for the Lord. All he needed was a changed life and the will to tell about it. Dan was not an expert on the Bible, theology, or defense of the faith, but he was an expert on himself. He was the only one who was always with himself when good things or bad things happened to him. And so are you. You are an expert on yourself. You are the only person alive who is always with you. Jesus also told him to tell them how much the Lord has had mercy on you. Dan was not better by his own efforts, but by the mercy of God. Likewise, we are not new and improved versions of ourselves based on our own efforts, but on the mercy of God. Verse 20, so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, that is the 10 cities, the 10 city area, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. All the people were amazed at the difference Jesus made in Dan's life. I hope the Lord has changed your life, the way you think, feel, talk, act, and react. Maybe the difference is not so dramatic as it was in the life of Dan. Maybe you never lived in a graveyard. Maybe you were never a menace to society. Maybe you were never addicted to self-destructive behavior. Maybe your story is less about how you were brought from that kind of life and more about how you were kept from that kind of life. Deliverance from a self-destructive life is good. Avoidance of a self-destructive life is better. It's good to get over foolish injuries. It's better to avoid them. Maybe you need to change your life like Dan did, but maybe the change needs to be more subtle than Dan needed. Maybe your dysfunctions are more mild than wild. Maybe you're selfish and rude, bossy and talkative, arrogant and abrasive, impatient and intolerant, unforgiving and unloving. Those are not helpful, winsome, godly traits. They do not belong in the life of a follower of Jesus. Maybe Jesus needs to bring you out of a different kind of graveyard, a graveyard of bad habits, bad character, bad personality. Demon Dan had been running around naked, and he needed to put on a whole new outfit, literally. He needed a total makeover. In Colossians 3, 12 to 14, the Apostle Paul uses clothing as a metaphor for the kind of people we should be when he says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and love. Maybe you need a whole new spiritual outfit. Maybe you need a spiritual makeover. Whether you were publicly wild or publicly mild, we were all spiritually lost and doomed without Jesus. But just as he did with Demon Dan, Jesus sets us free and sends us out for show and tell. As we pray, you may want to pray something like, Father, please continue to make me less like the world and more like Jesus. Father, please continue to make me less like the world and more like Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Father, please continue to make us less like the world and more like Jesus. Thank you for recording this story of Demon Dan turned Disciple Dan. Thank you for recording this story of the Gerasene demoniac. Continue to make us less like the world and more like the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing once more before we go.